Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Be back here. Good to see faces I haven't seen for a while. Some of you I've never seen before. So it's good to see all of you. And thank you so much for the worship this morning. I just could have sat and worshiped the rest of the morning. That was so beautiful. And as we sang that first song, The Ageless One, wow. I had to think how privileged we are to know the Ageless One. Mim talked about the Muslim. And you know, the Muslims, they have a God, but they don't know the Ageless One. They don't know the one who gives us peace. And peace that passes all understanding. And talking about age, as I get older, the peace of God means more to me all the time. And to know the Ageless One. And I encourage people, if you aren't real sure, get your Bible out and read the first 6 chapters of Genesis and read it over and over and over again if it didn't quite get into your spirit. Because unless we believe the first few chapters of the book, the rest means nothing. The rest means nothing. Unless your God is the Ageless One, unless your God is the one who flung the stars into space, unless your God is the one who designed you and made you, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, the rest doesn't mean anything. The rest is meaningless. And so, as the years pass by, as time goes by, the more thankful I am for the Ageless One. Because I know when I pray and talk to my Lord, I'm talking to a real person. I'm talking to somebody who cares about me. And then we sang that next song, another song, I trust in the one who will never, 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 never fail. And that to me is so powerful because he is the one who will never, never, never fail you. I failed him many times. I've failed God many times, but he's never failed me. And then we sang the song, My Chains Are Gone. I can't thank God enough that my chains are gone. Sin has no more dominion over me. Death has no more dominion over me. And at my age, all I can see is life. I don't see death. I see life. You mentioned about Wes Boyer. Last Saturday a week ago, I was talking with Wes. and we were sharing together. And I would have never thought that 2 days later he'd be with his Savior. But he was ready to go. And so death to us as God's children, that really means life. Because when this old body, when you hear somebody say, and I really wonder if you ever hear it, that Dan Kalb is gone, because I still have a feeling that I may be one of the caught up ones, that our Lord's going to come before I see death. And that's how close I believe we are to hearing the trumpet sound, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what I'm looking forward to. And you know, Jesus, when he was here on this earth and talking with his disciples, and when they asked him about the end times, he said, well, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, very oblivious about what the future holds. Very oblivious about what's coming. And didn't really care. Because I guess they believe that one day they're going to just die like a dog, and that'll be the end. Sorry if some of you feel your dogs are going to be in heaven. I'm not going to argue that about you. But I'm so glad to be here this morning and be back with you. Those of you who don't know me, this was my church for about 30 years. Until 5 years ago, we moved to New Holland to a retirement community where we enjoy it very much, even though I miss my church here. And Pastor Joel is my father. My son, I mean, I'm his father. I guess I... Now, there's where my age comes in. And I felt it a privilege when Joel asked me to come and share with you while they're away. Him and Carrie went to a marriage retreat. And just because they went to a marriage retreat doesn't mean there's something wrong with the marriage. Gladys and I went to the same one at one time and enjoyed it very much. But, you know, and I say, any of you that get a chance to go to something that will enhance your marriage, nothing is so good it can't get better. And I want to tell you that marriage does keep getting better, doesn't it, dear? We're enjoying life together and hope that we can continue to enjoy life together for as long as the Lord has us here. Okay, this morning when Joel asked me to preach, I was seeking the Lord as to what to share this morning. I thought of it being right before Thanksgiving. And the words, a thankful heart and a thankful mind, is what came to me. Do I have a thankful heart? Do I have a thankful mind? Do my thoughts express thanksgiving? Does my heart express thanksgiving to God? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, Ooh, ouch. You mean that I'm to be thankful for that rotten thing that happened to me back thus and so when? Well, God says he is able to make all things work together for good to those who love him. Now, is God's word true or isn't it? Or does it just work for some people? No, God's word will work for everyone. Okay, how can that happen? And sometimes before we understand it, we have to go through what some people call the land between. You know, when the children of Israel were in bondage and slavery, God wanted to take them to a promised land. God wanted to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. God wanted to take them to the land that he promised to Abraham, their forefather, 400 years earlier. So he took them out of Egypt, and he wanted them to enter into what he had for them, but they weren't quite ready. They send spies into the land, and the spies come back and say, "Oh, there's giants in the land. There's giants in the land. We can't go in there. They'll kill us. We can't take that land." 10 said that of the 12 spies. 2 said, "Oh, yes, we can. Our God's bigger than the giants." But they didn't believe the 2. They believed the majority. Where are we today? Do we believe the majority or do we go with the minority? You know, our Bible says that there's 2 paths. One that leads to life and one that leads to destruction. And which is going to have the majority on? Sad to say, the path that leads to destruction, Jesus said the majority will be on. But so, are we going to choose walk with the majority or walk with the minority that are walking in truth? That's really a choice we have today. We're living in the time when we really have that choice. And so the people decided, "I'm going to listen to the majority. We can't do it, God. We can't do it." God says, "Okay. I'll keep you in the land in between for 40 years till the younger people that come along can do the job. If you won't let me do it with you now, you're going to stay in the land in between. And in that land in between," what did they do? Those of you who read your Bible, did they thank God for the time in the desert and so forth? They grumbled and complained, didn't they? They grumbled, complained. And so God sent some manna. He sent some food, a food that was good enough it was an excellent food. Apparently it met all their physical needs. But it wasn't long till that wasn't good enough. We want to go back to Egypt where we had meat and where we had garlics and leeks and onions to put with the meat and could season it, and it really tasted good. Well, what about the taskmasters you had in Egypt? Oh, we forgot about them. We just loved the food that we had. So they complain. Okay, God said, I'll give you meat. So he sent quails in among them. So many quails, and they flew low, and they were able to catch them. And they had all kinds of meat to eat. And they ate meat, and they ate meat till they got sick. And a plague broke out among them. The land in between isn't always pleasant. But it's that land in between where God teaches us things. Sometimes in our circumstances in life, we have a land in between. And many of you have walked through a land in between. You've gone through tough times. You've gone through hard times. I see Harry shaking his head. Harry's in the land in between right now, having lost his dear wife. And some others have experienced similar things. But you know, in the land in between, God can take us through it quickly, or he can stretch it out a long time. And that's up to you and I. Are we willing to say, God, okay, I'm sure I have some things to learn. Help me to learn quickly so I can get out of this wilderness. Or we can say, God, I'm just going to stay stuck here. And I'm just going to stay here and pout so I can get people's attention. And I'm just going to stay stuck here. Or we can say, God, thank you for teaching me as we go through these tough times. You know, it's the things we learn the hard way that we learn the best, isn't it? The things that we have to go through, pain and hurt, are the things that we learn the best. And so sometimes God has to allow his children. And I know that it hurts the heart of God to see his children go through pain and hurt. How do we know that those things pain the heart of God? When Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, what did he do? He wept. When Jesus sat up on the Mount of Olives and he looked over Jerusalem, and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chick under her wings, but you would not. And he wept over the city. Our God weeps. And I think he weeps sometimes when we go through pain and hurt. And I experienced it as a little child, that what I really felt was the heart of God. When I was about 5 years old, one time I wasn't listening to my mother. Us boys didn't do what she said. So Dad always had a piece of leather belting hanging upside of the door. And with seven boys, I always said it never needed any lubricant. But we got that belt once in a while when we didn't listen. One time in particular, after my dad used the belt on my bottom, he sat me on his knee, and with tears running down his cheeks, he says, Dan, this hurts me more than it hurts you, but I have to do it because you're going to learn to listen to your mother. And I said, that's where I believe I learned to know what the love of God was really like. It hurts God to have to discipline us. It hurts God to have to let us go through the land in between. When my late wife went through her siege of Alzheimer's, and I took care of her. And many of you walked that road with me, and I thank God for all of you. But it was tough. It hurt. But I learned so much through that. I learned how to be more tender, how to be more caring. I learned patience, which is something I still don't have enough of. But God taught me through that time. And after I was married to Gladys, we shared some of our things we walked through. She walked through some tough roads too. I said to Gladys, I said, you know, you married a better person than who Irene married, because God did a lot of work in my life through the tough things that I went through. And so we can allow the tough things in life to make us more thankful, or we can grumble and we can complain and we can continue to wander around in our wilderness for as many years as it takes till we learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. So, do I have a thankful heart? Do I have a thankful mind? I guess one way you can know that is, do you thank people and thank them from your heart for the things that they do? Do you see things that people do that are a blessing and thank them? Are you grateful? Do you thank God even for the tough things in life? Do we stop and thank God for that? And do people see you as a grateful person? That's a question we need to ask each ourselves. Do people see me as a grateful person, or do they see me as someone who complains and so forth? Gladys works with people, some who are struggling, who need friends there at Garden Spot. And one particular person that she's befriending had a great education, done a lot of things in life, but can't get along with the people around her. Lives in a communal house where there's five women live together, and they're going to be building a new one because they have more people want it. But she says, I want to go to the new one as soon as they build it, because she can't get along with the people in the one where she is. Do you think she'll get along with the people in the new one? No. Well, she's going to take the problem with her. And you see, we can change. We can change our situation. We can run. And sort of like people get a divorce and then think, well, I'm going to get married again, and this time it'll be better. Well, unless something changed in your life, it's not going to change. Because the problem, you'll be taking the problem with you to the next relationship. So, do I learn from the tough things, or do I grumble and complain? You know, when we read in Matthew or in Romans 1 of Paul that's describing the ungodly people in his world today, one of the things that he says about them, he says, and neither were they thankful. One thing that is very prominent among people who don't love God, who don't know the love of God, who don't know the peace of God, we don't know how to be thankful. And is it any wonder in our world today, in our cities especially, things are going to the dogs, as the saying goes, real fast. Riots, breaking the stores, nobody being content, or few people being content, and so forth. Why? Because God has been taken out of their life. When I went to school, before we did anything else in the morning, the teacher read some scripture, read some verses from the Bible. And we had prayer. We pledged allegiance to the flag. That was the start of our day. Today, kids don't have that. We've taken God out of the schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments down from our courtroom walls and so forth else. We kick God out. What comes in? We have an enemy who's just waiting to get his foot in. And Jesus says, he's the one that came to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we take the one who brought love and life out. And when we do that, you know, things never stay in a vacuum. The one who came to kill, steal, and destroy will be there real quick. And in Proverbs 23:7, the wise man says, as a man or woman think in their heart, so are they. Why do we need a thankful mind? Because we need to think thankful thoughts. We need to think positive thoughts. When I was young, people sometimes, some made fun, some very right-wing people made fun of Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, when he came out with that. Oh, that's just man doing it. But there is so much truth also in that. Yeah, maybe it might be a man thing, but there's so much truth. Because why would the wise men say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What goes through my mind is going to control what I do. And that's why there's times certain things I have to just turn the TV off. Even sometimes the news. I'll just say to Gladys, I can't. That's destroying my spirit. I turn it off. Because I don't want these things destroying my spirit. So the mind is controlled through the eye gate. So I don't care how old you are. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you hear. We used to sing a song when I was a little child. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above watching over if it's in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. I'm saying, be careful, older eyes, what you see too. Because it will control our mind. It will take control of our mind. So we all need to, I'm going to use that ugly word, discipline ourselves. We all need to discipline ourselves. And sometimes we just need to, I should say many times, we need to just go to the Word of God And put the word in our heart. And we need to read things like Psalm 100, where it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord, he is God, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love lasts how long? His love endures forever. And his faithfulness, how long does that go? Through all generations." His faithfulness goes through all generations. See, we're living in a world today, and if you haven't noticed, I hope you soon do, they're trying to destroy history. They're trying to revise history. They're trying to say that our forefathers didn't come here for a place for religious freedom. That they weren't Christians. They were just deists. And sure, they were human just like you and I are. They all had their faults. They were not perfect, but they recognized God. And all we have to do is read the Declaration of Independence, and we realize they recognized one greater than themselves. We read Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. He recognized somebody greater than himself. And so our country, and we can be thankful that our country has that foundation, that this nation has that foundation. We were built upon a godly foundation. And for that reason, I believe the prayers of our forefathers, the prayers of those who went before us, are still going before the throne of God. And I believe that God is going to bring good into this nation yet, before time ends. And that we're going to see a revival that will make the revival of the 70s look like child's play. I believe our God is going to do some mighty, mighty, mighty powerful things yet. We got that to look forward to. And we got to keep our sights on that. Keep our sights on what God has for us and not on what we see around us. Because our God has not lost his power. He's still able to part the Red Sea. He's still able to kill the giants with a little shepherd boy. And he's still able to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He hasn't lost his power. And that's the God we serve, the God we're going to continue to serve, and the God I pray that you will continue to serve. And that we will know the truth. Search the word, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, there's one thing yet that I want to share before we have our closing song here, if I don't. This I got out of Lancaster Farmer recently, and I thought it was so interesting. The title is The Art of Giving Thanks. You know, One of the greatest songs, hymns of thanksgiving has been, Now Thank We All Our God. This hymn was written during a famine when the lives of two of the city's four clergymen, with a third still leaving the area, did not return. Reinhardt became the only clergy, and this was, I've missed the first part. He wrote this in Germany in 1583. He was a Lutheran minister in Germany at the age of 31. The very next year, in May 1618, the most brutal, deadly war in Europe, centered in Germany, surrounded countries, broke out. This war, known as the 30 Years' War, is one of the longest and most destructive wars in European history. It is estimated that 8 million people died, and not all from the battles of the war, but also from accompanying plague and famine. The city of Eilenburg was not directly involved in the battles, but became a refuge for people seeking sanctuary. The area was quickly overrun with too many refugees in need of help. The plague and famine that followed took the lives of two of the city's four clergymen, with a third just leaving the area not to return. Reinhardt became the only clergy performing 40 to 50 funerals each day. Of the 8,000 people who perished in Eilenburg, Reinhardt performed 4,400 of these funerals. Many were just buried in trenches because the death toll was so overwhelming. Reinhardt, a true man of God, did not lose his faith. And during these trials of war, even after his own wife died, in 1630, he penned the words of this well-known hymn. It is said that the first two verses were written to encourage his children with a blessing to God at mealtime. The war officially ended in October of 48. Reinhardt, who spent half his life pastoring people and burying the dead during the lengthy conflict, died December 8th the following year. With the faithfulness of a true saint of God, Reinhardt kept his faith and encouraged others, and left us with his well-known words, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hand and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on his way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this boundless God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us. Keep us still in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son in whom he reigns, and with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was and now, and shall be evermore."